Forum.
Very good evening to all the listeners across the country. My name is Peter Okello. Today is Wednesday, May 29th. The year is 2024. Now, I hope you have had yourself a very blessed and a very good Wednesday. Tonight, we are going to have a very important topic. But before the topic, we are going to be joined online by one of our colleagues from Bentiu. And we have two main guests in the studio with me tonight as well. Here, and we are going to talk about the International Day of UN Peacekeepers. What does it mean? Have you heard about it before? If you do, what have you learned about it? Or what did one of the peacekeepers told you about this particular day? Now, permit me to introduce straight away in the matter of time. But before I introduce to you, I would just want to introduce one of our colleagues who is joining us online all the way from Bentiu, Peter Batman. Is a public information officer working for communication and public information section with UNMISS. Peter, if you can hear me, a very good evening to you. Peter, can you hear me? All right. I hope Peter will. But as I told you, it's not only Peter that is joining us. We have Captain Mary Eve Coleman. She worked with UNMISS Aviation. Captain Mary, welcome to Youth Forum on Radio Miraya.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And we have Mr. Taban Geoffrey Alfred Koma. I would love to tell all your phonemes. Welcome to the Youth Forum on Radio Miraya, Taban.
Thank you, Mr. Okello.
Right. As we wait for Peter Batman to join us, kind of look like our technical issue has begun again. What is this day, International Day of UN Peacekeepers? Maybe I'll begin with Mari.
Well, for me personally, it's just a day where we kind of take a second to reflect on what it is we are doing, why we're doing it, the difference we are trying to make, and all the people we're trying to help, and why we're doing it.
Okay, and Taban?
Thank you so much, Mr. Okello. This day is quite very, very important because it's the day to appreciate those who are actually working for the peacekeeping with courage and dedication. So we reflect on what they are doing, and also we pay tribute to all those who lost their lives while serving for the cause of peace and security in South Sudan and all the parts of the world wherever they are working. And that's what I can say for today.
All right. Peter, I hope you can hear me. Good evening to you. Hello, Peter.
Good evening, Kelly. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, Peter. Welcome on board. How are you? And how's Bentiu?
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's great. Thank you for having me. And Bentiu is currently celebrating International Peacekeepers Day, so the mood here is quite lively.
Great. Run us through the program that you guys have attended today, and what does it mean to the peacekeepers in Bentiu and as well as the citizens of Bentiu as a whole?
We had a parade in the main area of Bentiu today in front of the government secretariat. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend because I had another mission with the peacekeepers. But I think it sort of like underscores how much work the peacekeepers actually do. Even on Peacekeepers Day, there's important work to be done. So I was out with them covering some of their activities up in the north of Unity State in Abiyemnom. But yeah, everybody here agrees that the peacekeepers have made life here much, much safer. And we're very, very happy to have them in the community up in Bentiu.
Great. Peter, you keep with us online. I want to bring Mari and Taban in, who are with me directly in the studio. Taban, obviously this is your first keeping mission and within your country, but what does that mean to you as a national staff?
Thank you. I think for me, it's about really contributing to peace and development as well, because development can only be achieved if we can work for peace. So when I joined the mission, my passion and my goal is to work and contribute to bring stability and to build peace in South Sudan so that we can move to the next phase of state building. So today it reminds me of my goal that I've set for myself to work to ensure that the key pillars that we are working for, I contribute to it, and we are able to achieve peace in South Sudan. So to be honest, today I feel appreciated. I feel I'm contributing to the cause of peace in South Sudan, and we were very happy on the ground when we had this event.
Okay. Mari, I want to bring you in. You work in the aviation.
That's correct.
Probably you're flying planes and helicopters and all that, but how easy is that work?
So what we do is mostly a supporting role. So our job is to move. We work with different players, with MoveCon, with like everyone in the mission, really. Everybody has requests, everybody has needs, that our job is to provide different services. So we will make sure that aircraft are flying all over the country, making sure that supplies are taken, people are taken, in order to get the people on the ground that need to be there in order to maintain the peace in the country, and make sure that all those people are supported as well in order to be able to accomplish their mission.
I assume, Mari, this might or maybe is your first peacekeeping mission, is it?
This is my first peacekeeping mission with the UN.
And with it being a first peacekeeping mission and you are directly in South Sudan, does that really hurt much for you? Is it not too challenging?
I find every different area has its own challenges, but the people in this country have been absolutely phenomenal. They are such a kind people, and everybody just wants peace and to be able to live in security and harmony and be able to provide for their kin and their families, their friends, and that's something that every human strives for. So everyone is just so similar in so many ways, but the people of this country have really made it very welcoming, and everyone in this mission as well. This is a phenomenal place to be able to bring any kind of contribution.
All right, Mari and Taban, I would ask you to hold your horses. Don't let them go. I'll be coming back to you. Peter, I want to bring the mic to your table. I was made to understand that this is not your peacekeeping mission. And if it is not, what do we need to know about your peacekeeping mission? And what does this second peacekeeping mission, or third, if that is the case, what is the difference?
Actually, Okello, before this, I was with the UN, but I was in Bangkok. So this is my first formal peacekeeping mission. But I'm into my second year now of it, and I'm loving it at the moment.
First year, second year, what did you learn, and what should we know?
It was quite surprising coming to South Sudan the first time, especially coming from a place like Bangkok. Bangkok in Thailand, and I'm originally from Australia, so those are three very different places. But I've really, really enjoyed my time here. As a little kid, I grew up seeing peacekeepers, so just on the television and on the news. And so I feel like it's a great honor to be able to be here right now and do the job that I do, which is I get to follow around the peacekeepers and sort of document what they do and tell the world about it. So it's been really amazing. Like our colleagues have said, the people of South Sudan are really friendly. And really lovely people. So I'm very happy to learn their culture and experience life in this country. So I've had a really, really, really great time, and I'm excited for my second year.
Great, Peter. We're still keeping with you. Obviously, there's quite a lot of pillars within the peacekeeping, the four pillars, so to speak, that every office in the peacekeeping mission want to works to, you know, to execute, to implement. So far in Bantu, I was made to understand it's a bit challenging. You are in the from the public information and communication section. What do you do, and what has been the greatest achievement so far, if you may say one or two?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I mean, my job is to follow the peacekeepers around. So I get to be kind of like a fly on the wall, whether it's the substantive sections, whether it's civil affairs or human rights or rule of law, implementing rule of law in particular, implementing a mobile court, or whether it's one of the military aspects, going on patrol or escorting fuel trucks. I get to be right there with them and talk to the people they interact with, and take photos of them, take videos, and package those and present them to the public. So that's kind of my role, and I love it. It's a dream. I think probably my favorite experience, I was lucky enough to join one of the fuel convoys going from Wau to Bentiu, which is my duty station. And that was a 3-day journey across a large portion of South Sudan. Then I went with the Mongolians, and we were able to take some photos, and we made a short small documentary and an article and everything. So that's probably my favorite experience so far, but honestly, every day is fun. Even today, I was on a helicopter up to the north of Unity State.
Yes.
Just checking out a new temporary operating base that's been deployed there. So, yeah, I hope that gives you a little bit of a snapshot of what we do up here.
Great, Peter. We'll come back to you. Mari, I want to bring you in. We need to look at the few things that you think is a bit challenging in your role in the aviation, so to speak. Do you have few, if there are?
I have experienced very few real challenges in this mission. I think every day has been just a new experience, new meeting fantastic people, working with fantastic people. And that's one thing about this mission, is everyone is just striving for the same goal, just peace and harmony, and for everybody to have that opportunity in this country. So I think, especially where I work, everyone is an amazing group of people that we're all working together, and we're working to reach that goal.
All right. Taban, as a National Staff Peacekeeper, what do you see moving forward?
Mr. Kelo, honestly, to me, I think the mission is really contributing a lot to this country. And especially at this critical time that we're moving to the second phase of the peace agreement. Basically, it's almost coming to an end. I feel that the mission should work very hard to support the people of South Sudan to be able to move forward to implement the remaining phases of the peace agreement. And as a peacekeeper, especially in outreach and advocacy unit, I feel we should continue to create awareness, to continue to create platforms where South Sudanese can be speaking to each other, and they can have dialogue on key important issues that are remaining in the peace agreement, looking at the constitution making process, and various other parts of the agreement. So I would love to continue to support as a national staff, to give my local perspective on how best we can support the people of South Sudan. And moving forward, I would love to go to the ground and work with the communities and sensitize them on the peace process, as well as create platform for them to discuss, to dialogue, and engage their senior government officials, so that they can raise their voices towards the remaining parts of the peace agreement.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 28 minutes past 8 o'clock. My name is Peter Okello, and I'm joined by three colleagues. The two are with me directly in the studio, Marie-Eve Coleman and Taban Geoffrey Alfred Koma. And, of course, we are also joined online by Mr. Peter Badman, who is... who is in the field in Bantu, Unity State. Peter, obviously, you are a media person. You do a lot of writing. You do a lot of coverage in terms of radio, in terms of video, you know, and even photography as well. And you do that, you know, to be able to carry forth what has been happening down on the ground. And we get a lot of information from your area, and that is through you. Obviously, without you, that would have not happened. So media, it's something that is one thing that is very important. We need to underscore that. But moving forward, you would want to have, obviously, every day you do your work, you'd find children looking at you and they're surprised. Will I ever become like Peter, or handling a camera, or perhaps writing and doing, or speaking a great English? A kid would look up to you and look at you right into your eye and like, would I become like you? What would you say to that kid, Peter? A peacekeeper, for example.
that's very sweet. It's a very sweet thought. I'm not sure. I think it's a good question. I mean, we live next to the biggest IDP camp in South Sudan, and it's full of lots and lots of kids. So I see kids all the time. And I would just think, I mean, the way that I got here was just following what I love to do. So if you love to tell stories, and if you love to take photos, or, I mean, even if you don't have access to a camera or something at the start, I think just follow what you love. If it's telling stories, because that's all taking photos and taking videos and writing is, you should just follow that passion. So it's a very sweet thought. Thank you for putting that in my head, Akela.
All right, Mari, the same would be coming to you, but I think I'll twist it a little bit. You work in the aviation. Few female flies plane in this country. Of course, they are there, and I think good number of them might be good trying to go to school, but maybe someone would want to hear to you today and is like, okay, there's that strong woman that spoke on Radio Miraya the other night, and she's a peacekeeper, but in the aviation. What would be your message to the young female that would want to become like you?
That nothing is impossible. Just follow your dreams and work hard, and I understand sometimes there's limitations, but one day, like, that's what we all strive for everybody to have those opportunities. So to just keep with it and not give up, because one day somebody will look at them and think the same. I want to be just like you.
Great, that's quite powerful. Taban, my question would be a little bit out of Mary's question and then Peter. But we looked at the nation trying to go for election. Maybe or maybe not. But this is what we have in the Rwanda Peace Agreement. It comes to an end. There should be an election somewhere. But you are in Outreach and Advocacy Unit. What are your hopes for your country as a peacekeeper?
Thank you, Okello. As a peacekeeper, as a person, as a South Sudanese, what I'm looking forward is that the parties to the peace agreement are able to reach to consensus. They're able to implement the remaining parts of the peace agreement and hold a fair, free, and credible, and most importantly, a peaceful election, so that we can move forward and to a democratically elected government. Currently, you know, it's a party to the conflict and party to the peace agreement, and then they formed the reconstituted transitional government of national unity. So having election coming forward, and if they can agree to hold the election and making sure all the preparations are done, I think, to me, it will move this country forward. And those are my hopes, that our parties to this peace agreement can be able to implement and achieve their dreams that they have set, and the dreams of the people of South Sudan. And if they can put the dreams of the people of South Sudan first, that would be a great thing. Thank you.
All right. I'll come back to Peter and Marie. But before that, for those who are listening to us, it's 33 minutes past 8 o'clock. My name is Peter Okello, the host of the Youth Forum tonight. And we are talking about the commemoration International Day of UN Peacekeepers that was conducted today. And South Sudan is not left out either, because we as peacekeepers in this country have held an across board in Juba and in the tent state in other regional offices that have as well commemorated this day. Now, tonight we are talking about the importance of peacekeeping, right? And we are drawing lessons from here, from South Sudan. I have three colleagues with me. One is joining us online and two are with me in the studio. They're trying to share the experience of what it means to become a peacekeeper, what has been their contribution so far for the years they've been here, one or two or even more. So that is what we are talking about. But if you're listening to us, wherever you're getting us from, then you'll have a chance to interact as well, to call us on 09-2968-6297. That is our MTN line. I can repeat that again. 09-2968-6297. You can send an SMS as well if you don't wish your voice to be heard. You can do so by sending us an SMS, your question or comment, on 09-12-17-7141. I would want to read our Zain line, which is a call line directly. It's 09-12-06-2950. These are our lines, and if you called, the guests in the studio will be able to hear your comment and or precisely your questions. Send us an SMS as well so that you'll be part and parcel of this program. Let's go and pick a call that is on right now. Hello, Edemira.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Andrea Camila Ongom. I'm calling in Pagao area in Kanyefayam.
Andrea Ongom, first call of the night. How are you and how was your day?
I'm good and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Please, welcome.
I have a question to get in the studio.
Yes.
What role are they playing to the fact we are now negotiating peace in Nairobi right now, by the way? What is the support into that one? As a peacekeeper.
Come again with that question, Andrea.
I'm saying, what is the support on peace talks in Nairobi right now, as a peacekeeper? What is the support on that peace talk in Nairobi?
All right, Andrea, thank you for that. All right, Andrea is asking a question. What is your support to the ongoing peace talk in Nairobi? I must admit, Andrea, the peace talk was a couple of weeks ago, and we are talking about commemoration of International Day of UN Peacekeepers. So the team, the guests in the studio are sharing their experiences. Hello, Edemira. Good evening, sir.
Yes,
Sabal Khair. Demas Sabal Khair, Azolita. It's Miss Al Khair. It is night.
Kulu Mash.
All right. Marhab, welcome.
I'm going to talk to you in Magata. I'm a young lady.
Naam, Marhab.
Sabal Kalam the Tamam Chidi. Then I got a name with a pizza. I had a real peace. Like in the Mussel, Mirbujir, Bugul, Galam, what? And then the real peace, you couldn't have the man you couldn't give without Mirbujir, you have a little Tama Galam award. Ginubin, what I did, Salam.
No.
I had a good peace. That gave me a cool peace. My, you couldn't feel your cash. ناس ما يخش بعضه يعني ده برسل كلام ما هو ده كلام ما هو لين دارين فيس كلام ده لازم نكون فوق فيس فيس عديل ولو فيس
نعم
هو يقول كلام موارد حقيق بتاعه بتاع فيس ده نحن مواطنين تاع جنوب السودان ما شايفينه حقيق بتاعه ما شايفينه كله
نعم شكرا بمشاركة بتاعك بشكرك شديد اللوري دي برايا Good evening, Redibra. Yes. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, Peter Bure called from Northern Barkazal.
What's your question, sir? Or what's your comment?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the program, but my question is just one. Why is it very difficult for South Sudanese to be a peacekeeper in the world?
Okay.
Because when I look at South Sudanese and down here, in our region here, we don't have peacekeepers. Like recently, our peacekeepers were being sent to Congo, but they were returned back. Are we not meeting the standard of operation or what? This is what I want to know. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. The caller is asking of a South Sudan not qualified to become peacekeepers. So I think I will make it as short as that. But we'll leave it to the guests. But please send in your comments. Send in your comments, or you can call us as we move on. But the first caller, Marie and Taban and Peter, if you can hear me, is said that South Sudanese really want peace. They want peace, and they need genuine peace. That the peace that is there, if there's peace there, it must be implemented, because people need it. So as peacekeepers, South Sudanese need peace, as you have heard from one of the caller, but you're also working to, you know, to make sure that there's lasting peace in South Sudan in years to come, or probably today, tomorrow. That's what we want. So but as peacekeepers, the question I would want to ask is, how long do you think it will take to get lasting peace in South Sudan? Yes, Taban, you can then Mari comes in. And then Peter, you also come in as soon as Mari is done.
Okay, Mr. Keller, as a South Sudanese also, I think the question is, peacekeeping alone cannot bring peace in South Sudan. That's the simplest answer I will say. The people of South Sudan really need to sit down and make peace for themselves. The role of peacekeeping here is to support the people of South Sudan so that they can be able to bring peace to their country. How long it will take depends on the parties to the conflict, depends on the parties to the peace agreement for now that we have a peace agreement that the parties are implementing. If they can sit down and say, look, brothers, let's forget our differences and let's put our house in order, the role of peacekeeping will be supporting them to sit together and negotiate and do whatever is necessary to bring peace in South Sudan, so that our mandate from peacekeeping, from protection of civilians, can be shifted to supporting state building. But now if the people of South Sudan and the parties to the peace agreement do not implement what they have agreed, or if they do not work for peace, it will take years, and it's not really, really good, because the people are suffering, and you have been moving around the states. You know how people are suffering. I've been almost to all the 10 states. I know how life is in the POCs and how life is in several other parts of this country. People are really suffering. People are displaced. So if we want peace, the people of South Sudan needs to sit down and say they want peace, no more fighting, and let's start from a new page. And of course, they have opportunity. We have opportunity as South Sudanese, because we have a peace agreement which has been implemented, and few of the key provisions that are in the peace agreement that remain to be implemented, of course, including the elections. And if South Sudanese can sit down and say, let's finalize the remaining provisions and let's hold election and bring peace to this country, it will just mean by next year or by year later, whenever they conduct the elections, and we'll have a very peaceful South Sudan, and we'll go back to serious development so that we can improve the living standard of our people in South Sudan. Thank you.
Okay. Marie, do you want to add something?
I think I would really like to echo your comments about how each individual has a responsibility and a role to play in peacekeeping, because everybody has to do it for themselves and for their community, and it's just a role that once everybody just gets together, and that's how peace happens.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah, I think Taban summed it up pretty perfectly. I just wanted to also say, just from the second caller asking about the where are the South Sudanese peacekeepers, I just wanted to mention that our national staff colleagues, that they're peacekeepers as well, and they're here contributing to the peace, just like everybody else in South Sudan. So yeah, I think it's a collective responsibility, and I don't know if I can put on an exact timeline of when I think that it will be possible in South Sudan, but I hope that it can be as soon as possible, and I think that's what most people in the country want.
Okay. Murray, what is the South Sudan you envision to see in, let's say, 20 years from now?
In 20 years, that would be it would be great if everybody would have the opportunity to achieve their goals, achieve their dreams, and just be able to live in security and safety and have all the requirements that that a person would normally need, not be displaced, not have to worry about their own safety or the safety of their loved ones.
Okay. Peter, the same question applies to you. What do you think? What would you want to hear?
Yeah, actually,
whether you are here or you wouldn't be here in years to come, but what would you want to hear about South Sudan in 20 years, or you want to witness, so to speak?
No, yeah, I mean, I actually often think about this. I often think about South Sudan in 20 years and coming back and maybe going on safari or enjoying the development. I think this country has so much potential. So, I really hope for the best for it, and then I would love to come back one day and see all the natural beauty and experience the culture as a tourist, you know. As you mentioned, I won't be here forever, but in 20 years time, I hope that there's lasting peace. I hope that peace has been there for a long time, not just in 20 years time, and I hope to be able to show my family maybe one day how beautiful the country is.
That's great. It's such a wonderful ambition, Peter. Taban?
Peter, it's quite interesting question. Looking forward, I mean, I want to see South Sudan where South Sudan is really remain in their country, and they can only travel to the neighboring countries as tourists, as investors. I want to see our people coming back from the refugee camps have got opportunity to work in the refugee camps before joining the mission. Actually, I have been in the reception when 2016 happened, and I really shed tears when I was in Chiraidongo refugee camp, because I could see how people were suffering, and it reflected back to where I grew up. I grew up as a refugee in Uganda, and I know the suffering I had gone through. And when we got back to South Sudan, 2005, 2006, we had a big dream. We had a dream that we could, a South Sudan where we could drive from Juba, Nimule to to Warab, to Kwajok, to Awil, to Ezo, to Pibor, to wherever you want to go. A dream that you have diverse cultures and people living together, development. The dreams that we had, that our government and our people will be working in a corruption-free environment, and schools will be operating. We had opportunity to go to school, but up to now, you can see how many people are struggling to go to school. Most importantly, I would like to see that South Sudan, where rule of law is in place, human rights are respected, a South Sudan where democracy leads. We live regardless of our social and political differences. A South Sudan where every single child can go to school, can have access to health services. A lot of services that are actually missing, some of them are missing actually for most of the people. A South Sudan where the town goes to the villages. I mean, you have roads, you have electricity. Some of us have never had running water for the whole of our life. And as a peacekeeper, imagine who is someone who is on the street. What do you expect? You don't have running water, you don't have electricity, and we have the natural resources. We have the Nile that we can produce electricity. We have the largest water bodies, but we don't have clean water in our houses. I think if our leaders can look at what they can give to the people of South Sudan, that's the kind of a South Sudan I dream about. And I'm so proud to be a peacekeeper, and I hope my little contribution and the contribution of every single South Sudanese can bring peace, and we are able to reach to where we wanted the South Sudan to be.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. All right, Taban, as you speak and as you say, on this platform, on the Youth Forum, pretty much every day, every time, we got to hear the same wishes and the same hopes and the same dreams that you have said today. And these are quite powerful, quite powerful. Someone from the village, you mentioned some few locations and areas. Few of them, listeners would really send text messages and would even call in and say that, Peter, this is what I want to see, 1, 2, 3, up to 20, or even more than that, moving forward. I want to see this, if not in my lifetime, maybe my kids would want to be in this kind of situation that they want to see. And it's quite powerful, really. Thanks for that one. But now it's 50 minutes past 8 o'clock. We'll be like 10 minutes or so to be out for tonight. Before I let you go, I would leave Peter to sum up, but Taban, I'll come back to you, and then Mary, and then Peter. Today is the International Day of UN Peacekeepers globally. And in South Sudan, there's been a lot of celebration. You are among one today. Of course, Mary, this is the event that was conducted today for all peacekeepers within. I'm sure you are in, or maybe you are really very busy and had no time to be with us. But Taban, just in a minute or a minute and a half, what is your message as a peacekeeper to the people of your country?
Today, when we were celebrating the commemorating the International Day of United Nations Peacekeepers, our team today is building better together. And when you look at the team, it tells you peacekeepers, the people of South Sudan, the government, the different institutions, the parties to the peace agreement, all working together to bring peace. So my message is, if we can come together, we can do better. So people of South Sudan needs to come together, use the peacekeepers to be able to bring peace for your people. And I want to say thanks to all those who are working for peace in this country. Today's event, you can see there are a lot of contributions from the forces from different countries. Also, the UNPOL, the UN police. We also have the international, the national staff in different parts who did not have time to actually attend the event. The UN volunteers. You could feel from the environment that people really contribute a lot in this country. So I want to see peace, I want to see development, I want to see our people becoming like any other people in this world.
Okay. That's good one, Taban. And Mary?
Again, great comments that, like, I want to echo, because again, it's everyone's role. There's so many people here from different nations, from all over the world, and we're all trying to work together to work with the people of South Sudan so that they can also achieve peace. And peace is very hard to gain, it's hard to keep, it's something very delicate and fragile, but it really takes each and every person to accomplish it and make it happen.
Okay. Peter, we give it to you to conclude for us. What is your message?
Thanks, Akela. Yeah, it's a very hard act to follow, both of these two. I think they've said it all. There's over 100 countries represented in South Sudan right now, all working towards the same goal, to bring lasting peace for the people of South Sudan. And every day I see people in the everyday people from South Sudan, from Unity State, from Ruang Administrative Area, and they all want the same thing. So I think we're close, and I think it's just obvious. It's what everybody wants in the country, and my message is just to hold tight, everybody. And I think that the final goal is within reach.
Great, thank you. That was Peter Badman. He's a United Nations peacekeeper, public information officer, working for Communication and Public Information Office in Bentiu. Thank you, Peter, for being with us tonight. Really appreciate your time. Thanks to Tumari Eve Coleman. Thank you so much for having time and being with us and share your experience as a peacekeeper on the Youth Forum tonight. And Taban, thank you too for being with the team and also sharing your peacekeeping experience as a national staff and everything that you have ever learned and deliver with the colleagues across the peacekeeping space. And thank you too to the listeners who have been with us from the beginning of this journey. We really appreciate, and without you, we wouldn't have this program. So you are important, and your being there is everything.